Good morning. This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Adora Udoji.
Stephen Dubner, what boring economic story started the Cold War?
What boring economic story
boring
started the Cold War?
Economic dispute started the Cold War. You don't know? Well, you can be forgiven. 60th anniversary today of the incident that many historians regard as the beginning of the Cold War, the start of the blockade of Berlin. At the end of World War II, Berlin was split into four zones, the U.S., Britain, France, and the Soviet Union. The Allies upset Joseph Stalin with a plan to convert the worthless old German Reichmark into the Deutschmark. It was about currency conversion.
Can't believe I forgot that.
Stalin didn't want currency reform. He wanted to keep the German currency weak, and he controlled access to Berlin because Berlin was way inside East Germany. The Soviets responded by cutting off all the roads and railways into the western part of the city.
And Stalin hoped that depriving the Allied powers of food and fuel would force them to leave Berlin. 2.5 million civilians were trapped along with Allied troops, and it wasn't just difficult for Berliners to get food, Stephen. It was dangerous. The BBC's Richard Sharp was there in West Berlin in 1948.
I met a woman on the platform of a railway station here who'd been collecting fresh fruit from the Russian zone. When coming back from the Russian zone, all identity cards were inspected. All people who had B on their cards lost their fruit and were taken under arrest. B on a Berliner's card means that he or she is living in one of the Western, the non-Russian sectors. And this woman said, "My son, who tried to escape, was captured by the Russian police when he was climbing over a fence."
Stories like that suggested to the Western powers that Stalin could win. The Allied response to the blockade was Operation Vittles, one of the most ambitious humanitarian operations in history. A round-the-clock assembly line of civilian aircraft delivering flour, meat, milk, vegetables, coal, even chocolate. Here's the BBC's Richard Sharp again.
While one aircraft is landing them, another is circling the airfield preparing to land, and yet another is a black speck rapidly becoming bigger against the grey sky over the pine trees. When I was there today, a row of German civilian lorries 80 yards long was waiting to take the food into Berlin, and taken, it should be emphasized, into either British, American, or French sectors.
A plane landed every 90 seconds. The schedule was so tight that each pilot only had one chance to land. German troops would hustle the supplies off the plane and then deliver them to civilians, and a lot of people were floored by the operation's efficiency. Sir Brian Robertson was the commander of the Allied Control Council.
One thing that impresses me very much is the way the pilots and the crew are going about their work. And the German workers, too, they're doing splendidly. Of course, one would expect that. They know how very important it is. I don't think the people of Berlin will ever forget or ever forgive the days of this blockade of Berlin.
You'll appreciate this, Stephen. Operation Vittles was a success. It was all about delivering commodities at the right time, at the right place. But the Cold War had just begun. It would last a half century. The Western powers had the capacity to continue deliveries indefinitely. Stalin backed down, and the blockade was lifted in 1949.
Good stuff.
It's interesting.
Currency triggered by a currency change. Obviously, the German Reich currency was no good anymore.
Well, and it's something that George Soros obviously believes in. I mean, there are people who watch currency as an indicator of world economic health more closely than anything else.
A little historical fact. Tempelhof Airport, which was the place where the flights were shuttled in and out, is going to close at the end of October this year.
60 years later.
The Berlin blockade, 60 years later.